Joining us right now is director of Very Good Dumplings. His name is Michael Easton. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for
having
me.
You bought food. That was very generous of you.
I know.
What have you got there?
I have some Polish pierogi there. They are a sauerkraut, kumara and mushroom finished with dill and melted butter.
Incredible. And they smell just like that, listeners. Also in the studio, by the way, I've just invited her in because she might need to help me do some eating as new Music 101 host Charlotte Ryan. Hello.
Hello. It's a perfect time for me to come in. These dumplings do smell so good.
Yeah, jump in whenever you like, Charlotte. Michael, where should we start? How did you get excited about dumplings?
I have been into dumplings for a very long time. Probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I started experimenting with different dumpling varieties. So in New Zealand, we're very used to the gyoza or the Chinese dumpling.
Yeah, let me just jump in. Charlotte, would you mind handing them out to us? Can you share them around so we can have a bit of a feed while we're chatting?
Of course.
I mean, I know you're not technically working here as a waitress, but as long as you're just there with a fork and a
plate. I know dumplings well.
Yeah,
happy.
Okay.
Happy to help.
Okay, sorry. As you were, Michael.
And so I started experimenting at that stage and trying different varieties from around the world, basically, and I found that every cuisine had some form of dumpling. And then the dive got deeper, and we decided that we would create a dumpling brand called Very Good Dumplings, focusing on organic ingredients and varieties from all over the planet.
Where does the dumpling story begin?
Well, I would say it probably begins around 50,000 years ago, when we first started wet cooking in the sort of middle to upper Paleolithic phase of our development, when we were starting to mix gruel into hot water, then we got lumps.
Right.
And that's probably where dumplings come from. But the story that is most agreed on these days is they come from a medical practitioner in China, Dr. Zhang Xiaojing. Sorry about my Mandarin pronunciation there. It's probably not that great. But 2,000 years ago, during the Han Dynasty, he was wandering back to his village, and he noticed that all the villagers had frostbitten ears. And so he created stewed lamb and black pepper and medicinal herbs, wrapped them up in dough. And that's where the modern gyoza comes from. And so that is the generally accepted dumpling origin. But in saying that, mantou or the bao, that probably comes from around 600 years earlier.
Okay. Have a go, Charlotte. So these ones that we're eating are they've got European flavours.
Yes. Yeah,
so that's dill.
Yeah, so the Polish dumplings, the very common ingredients in a Polish dumpling would be sauerkraut, cabbage, mashed potato. Mm. If they're sweet, they'll be quark, cottage cheese. And often they're finished with really simple things, just fried onion, sour cream, generally melted butter.
Yum.
So these are actually vegan in their interior, but I have finished them with melted butter, so... Mm. It's the sauerkraut just gives it a tang, which hits the sweetness of the kumara quite well.
Mm, I like it. You know the thing on the ear, the history of dumplings.
Mm, yes.
I understand that the shape of dumplings have something to do with the shape of an ear.
That's right. The
yeah.
The word jiaozi, which is the modern word for dumplings. They were originally called jiao'e, which means tender ears. So. Chinese dumpling historians even argue about where the word comes from, but they generally have been described as tender ears.
Shout out to Ora Chieti, the southern Italian little ear pasta.
Mm. Mm.
Not dumplings, really, but also named after their similarity to the human ear. Were they taken at some point from Asia through into Europe?
Across Central Asia through to Europe. And Marco Polo gets a lot of the credit for taking them across, but it's probably more likely that it was Arab travellers that took them through into Eastern Europe. But you'll have Eastern Europe companies that have wrapped dumplings next to Eastern European countries that have balls of dough. And so in Northern Europe, it's the little ball of dough, which is common. That was a favourite of King John, who signed the Magna Carta in 1215. He was introduced to dumplings by a Sir John, whose dumplings were so delicious he was accused of witchcraft.
And there's different ways of cooking them. These ones that you have given to us are a bit of a sort of a pot sticker vibe, right?
Yeah, they're pot sticker, which was apparently 1,000 years ago in the imperial court, a chef overcooked them by mistake and covered up his mistake by saying, "I meant to do that."
Yeah.
And that's how the pot sticker apparently arose. More than likely, you would get a pierogi to be boiled or steamed, but I'm always a fan of a little bit of brown on there for that extra flavour profile.
And the chewiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So what advice do you have for people wanting to make dumplings at home?
Be patient. Don't get discouraged by strange-looking dumplings when you first start. They do take a little while to get the knack of them.
Mm.
I would say...
You're not going to muck around doing your own dough, are you?
I would suggest not to start with, because that adds an extra hour and a half to 2 hours into the mix. There's plenty of good Asian supermarkets that sell 50 wrappers for a good price, and that's a great way to get started.
Yeah, here's my tip. Once you've opened the wrappers, you've got to use them pretty quickly. Yeah. They can go a bit mouldy. And also I find the wrappers that you get from the Chinese supermarket, they wouldn't be as big as these ones that you've got to make these dumplings here. They're quite small. There's not much you can fit inside them, in my experience.
No, they're about 80 millimetres across, and they're good to start as long as you use about 10 grams of filling in there and make them quite small. In some parts of the Middle East, the smaller you make your dumpling, the more respect you show your visitors.
Oh, that's good. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I'd make them very small if you come over to my house, Charlotte. talk us through this recipe then. I guess it's less of a recipe as a list of potential fillings.
Yes. Yeah. So this one is the recipe for the dumplings that we're eating here, which combines kumara, sauerkraut, and again, I bought the sauerkraut. I didn't make it myself.
Yeah,
and mushroom for that earthiness, and then dill for that nice grassy, lemony finish. And so I cook the kumara first. I chop it into about 5 millimetre by 5 millimetre squares. I'm pretty fussy with my chopping.
Mm.
And cook it so it's parboiled, so it's just holding a little bit of shape, not too mushy. And then do the same with your... cook it off in a couple of cups of water. And then sweat your garlic and your mushrooms, add them into your kumara. And then basically chop your sauerkraut and add that in. And then as soon as everything's cool, you're ready to go. Some people rinse their sauerkraut, but I think that takes that lovely tangy ferment off the flavour profile, so I don't rinse my sauerkraut. And then a bit of salt, bit of black pepper, white pepper, fresh dill, a lot of fresh dill. I think dill's great.
Yeah.
It leaves a great finish after you've eaten the dumplings.
It does. Yeah. It's really fresh.
Mm.
Mm.
And
quite a rare sort of a taste as well.
Yeah. And it's really quite simple to make these. And because the ingredients are pre-cooked, you don't actually have to cook them that much. If you're using fresh wrappers and then you make the mix and then cook them reasonably quickly, you don't have to get the inside too hot, so you don't lose the probiotic quality of the sauerkraut.
Uh-huh. As opposed to, say, if you're doing them with pork or chicken, where you'd really want to make sure they're
really
cooked fairly thoroughly.
Sure
How do you cook them?
Well, I put them in a little bit of oil, so a couple of tablespoons of oil. I probably get about 12 to 15 dumplings in a pan, a couple of tablespoons. And this is when they're fresh. Same when they're frozen. I always cook them from frozen. I don't thaw them. But if they're fresh, a couple of tablespoons of oil, brown each side, put about a quarter of a cup of water into the pan, put a lid on. That water will take about 1 to 2 minutes to evaporate. When that's done, take the lid off and then just crisp them off to your preferred level of crispiness, which mine is quite high.
Mm-hmm. And then put them on a plate and serve them with a few toppings.
That's it for pierogi, yeah. I mean, some pierogi are not even topped at all. I think a dumpling should be able to stand alone, should be able to survive without a sauce. It's not just a carrier for sauce. It's actually a delicious morsel in itself. So,
what about those dumplings that actually have a sauce inside them?
The xiaolong bao, which is a soup.
Is that not a dumpling
then? It's a soup dumpling. Yeah, it's a soup dumpling.
Oh, yeah.
But it's made with a gelatin lump of soup that, as you're steaming it, that turns into a soup, and then you suck the soup out of the top of the dumpling.
Delicious.
Mm. Okay, great. You better share some of those with Mary, our executive producer. I can see her looking hungrily through the window. If people can't be bothered making them, they can just buy some of yours, I suppose, Michael.
That would be a great idea. Yep, they're available at Farrow and Huckleberry and Moore Wilson. So they're in the freezers there.
Okay.
And the same. Just cook them from frozen. Don't thaw them.
Michael Easton's company is called Very Good Dumplings. And you can see the full recipe on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jesse. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.